in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life.
Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion.
You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation.
Bless the name of the Lord. Go ahead and just worship Him. Celebrate Him. Malabo Shilabo Rasida Halabate. Eke Pura Sida Halabata Sufrahida Halabate. Go ahead and just bless His holy name. Worship Him in the beauty of His holiness. Makabo Sepila Kaparunda Kaprakatiza. Kele burundo sufragadiza balagidas. We make demand upon a fresh supply of the Spirit of grace. A fresh supply of the Spirit of grace. A fresh surprise. A fresh outpouring of the Spirit of grace. For it is written, I will pour upon the house of Judah and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the Spirit of grace and supplication. Keba runda saprakatiska paramandi. Kelekateke prakabakatai. Manta kababura bakasa balatiza. Shapalika prakatai. God told Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. My grace is sufficient for thee. The grace of God is sufficient for us. The grace of God is sufficient for us. Make demand upon that grace. Paul wrote to Timothy. He says, stand strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Take advantage of that grace. There is grace for everything and anything you have been called to do. There is grace to do the work of the ministry. There is grace for kingdom service. There is grace for supernatural strength. There is grace for revelation. There is grace for wisdom. There is grace for favor. There is grace for the supernatural. There is grace for healing. There is grace for prosperity. There is grace for wealth. There is grace for greatness. There is grace for success in all your endeavor. There is grace for academic success. There is grace for success in your career, in your job, in your business. There is grace for excellence. There is grace for influence and visibility. There is grace, mandabaya, for everything you desire. For everything God has called you to do. Mandeke balatiza, pora batiza, leke prendeke pora badia. Mandaka bababosha. A mighty supply of the Spirit of grace. Mandeke pora batai, lika pora sida. La prande kepo. In Philippians 1:19, Apostle Paul said, I know that this shall turn for my salvation. It shall turn for my deliverance. It shall turn for my rescue. Through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of Jesus Christ is the spirit of grace. Come on, make the man upon a mighty supply of the spirit of grace. There is grace for deliverance. There is grace. Mandabaya liko baba babasha. Epeketo lagabadaya. Ilagabado sila bakatai. Lendo sila kaponde ketia. There is grace for living a life of glory and dominion. Shalabado sila batai. Thank you, Father. Father, we reference your presence already in our midst. Thank you for the anointing of your spirit. Thank you for a fresh outpouring of the spirit of grace and supplication. Our hearts and mind are open to receive the word of your grace, which is able to build us up and give us our inheritance in Christ. Thank you for the ministry of angels in this place. Thank you for your glory being revealed in this place. Thank you for mighty impartations. Thank you for workings of miracles. Let no life remain the same in Jesus' name. Come on, clap your hands, oh you people. Clap your hands, oh you people. I say clap your hands, oh you people. Come on, shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Come on, shout glory. Hallelujah. You might be seated in heavenly places. Welcome to the concluding part, the grand finale of our apostolic teaching series, the Unforced Rhythms of Grace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Can we look at the scripture? Matthew 11, 28. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Glory to God. Matthew 11, 28. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Hallelujah. There is a divine call. There is a divine summon unto a life of rest. Hallelujah. Jesus, by his finished works, he has brought us into a life of rest. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Okay, let's look at Hebrews 4 verse 1 and 2. Let me show you something. Then we'll come back here. Our life in Christ is a life of rest. I know we labor, we work, but we do all of that from a position of rest. Am I communicating? From a position of rest on the basis of the finished works of Christ. Glory to God. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Verse 2. It says, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them," that's the children of Israel, is a them, the church in the wilderness. Okay, they were initially in Egypt when God sent Moses, his servant. God sent Moses to bring them out. Hallelujah. God sent Moses to bring out his covenant people. He preached to them the good news that God is bringing them out of the land of slavery and bondage and captivity that they had been in for 430 years. God is taking them to the promised land, the land of Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey, the land in which they will inherit houses they didn't build, cities full of all good things which they didn't fill, wells digged and olive yards and vineyards and wells. Is that not good news? So God sent Moses to preach to the children of Israel when they were in Egyptian bondage. Good news. So that's what the writer of the book of Hebrew, whom I believe is Apostle Paul, was trying to say here. He said, "Unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them." The them there is the children of Israel. He said, "But the word preached did not profit them." Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Am I communicating? You remember, it was only Joshua and Caleb among the adults that entered the promised land. Can you remember? The rest, their carcasses fell in the wilderness. What was their problem? Unbelief.
The Bible says we saw that they could not enter because of their unbelief. Moses preached the good news, but they did not mix it with faith. They didn't believe. Okay? Next verse. So when the word comes to you, mix it with faith. Glory to God. Verse 3. He said, for we which have believed do enter into rest. In other words, when you have faith in the gospel, when you believe this bloody report concerning the finished work of Christ, when you believe the report of the gospel, when you believe this report concerning what Jesus has already accomplished for us through his suffering, his death, his burial, his resurrection, he said you enter into your rest. That's the key. We which believe do enter into rest. Hallelujah. As I have sworn in my robe, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Unfortunately, a lot of the children of Israel didn't enter the promised land. They didn't enter the land of Canaan. What was their sin? Unbelief. Am I communicating? The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. So I want you to see here that faith in the gospel, faith in the good news concerning the grace of God, what Jesus has accomplished for us, is key to entering your rest. Okay, you can now go back to Matthew 11, verse 28. It says, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Next verse. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Hallelujah. Now let's see in Message translation. It brought it out beautifully where we got the Unforced Rhythms of Grace. We got that title from that. It says, walk with me and walk with me. Watch how I do it. Learn what? Learn the Unforced Rhythms of Grace. And that's what we have been learning for the past 2 weeks plus now. Am I communicating? We come here to learn of the Unforced Rhythms of God's grace. You see, this is not another religious session. Am I communicating? This is not another religious routine or ritual coming for church service. No. It's your divine opportunity to learn the Unforced Rhythms of God's grace, so that your life will make progress, so that you will be transformed. Am I communicating? From glory to glory. Hallelujah. He said, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Glory to God. And we started by defining what the grace of God is, right? And we went deep, and we looked at last week how the believer is justified by faith in God's grace. Am I communicating? We are justified by faith on the basis of the finished work of Christ. Okay? And then last week we talked extensively about righteousness. How that because of Jesus' sacrifice, we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ as believers. The day we got born again, we received that nature of righteousness, okay? And the nature of righteousness gives us right standing with God. We are called the righteousness of God in Christ. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin, Jesus who knew no sin, was made sin for us. On that cross, he was made sin with our sin nature, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Christ is our righteousness. Glory to God. And righteousness, understanding the doctrine of righteousness is very important, because grace reigns through righteousness. Okay? Grace reigns through righteousness. And without the understanding of righteousness, even your faith cannot grow. There is a connection between the three of them. Grace, righteousness, and faith. The three of them are interconnected.
Because Romans 1:17 lets us know that the gospel is a revelation of God's righteousness. In Romans 1:16, Apostle Paul started by saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation, unto everyone that believe. Okay? To the Jews first and then the Greek. Then the next verse, he said, For daring, daring there is talking of the gospel. For in the gospel, for daring is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So the gospel is the revelation of God's righteousness from faith to faith. So if you want your faith to grow, you must understand and be conscious of righteousness. Are you getting this? Without righteousness, consciousness, your faith cannot grow. In fact, you can't even function effectively in faith. It will be crippled. Glory to God. Because it is that nature of righteousness that gives us right standing, and we can stand before God, we can stand before Satan and all the his cohort of darkness, we can stand before men without any sense or feeling of guilt, condemnation, and inferiority. Am I communicating? When you want to cast out a demon, for instance, let me give you an example of what I'm trying to explain. When you see a proper demon possessed person, a proper one. Now let me explain why this thing is so important. If you are thinking of your own righteousness at that point, do you know your faith will be crippled? You won't be able to exercise your authority in the name of Jesus. Or at best, you will be doing it in fear. And if you use the name in fear, it will not work. And the demons know you can't hide it. You can't form it. It's not bone face. See, the demons, they know. If you are not operating in faith, they know. They won't come out. They won't obey you. Are you listening? So at that point, you are supposed to be conscious of your right. I'm showing you, this is the secret of bold faith. When I'm casting out demon, you think it's my own righteousness I'm thinking about. No, I'm not conscious of my self-righteousness. The Bible calls it filthy rag. I'm not justified before God by my righteousness. It's by the righteousness of Christ. Christ is my righteousness. And before God, I am as righteous as Jesus is. So my faith to cast out demons in the name of Jesus is rooted in my understanding and consciousness of my righteousness. So I can stand before that demon with boldness and audacity and command it to come out without any inferiority, without any sense of fear or anything. Are you seeing this? So righteousness, consciousness sponsors boldness. That's why the Bible said the righteous are as bold as a lion. Sin consciousness sponsors what? Timidity and cowardice. Sin consciousness sponsors condemnation. Am I communicating? The reason why the children of Israel have to be... I don't have time. Let me enter my teaching today before I enter another road. Glory to God. So I told you last week that it was a major topic of intense argument and discussion in the 16th century in the Council of Trent, the sixth session. The main question is, how is one justified before God? When a sinner gets born again, how is that believer now, the one that has accepted Jesus, how is he justified before God? It was a major topic of theological debate, a serious one. And that was even what brought about the Protestant Reformation. Am I communicating? And I told you about Martin Luther, how we saw that scripture in Romans 3:28, and then light scale. Oh my God, thank God for revelation knowledge. You see, revelation came to him, and that was what sparked up the revolution. Am I communicating?
light of revelation. He saw what the scripture said. Romans what? 3:28. He says, Apostle Paul wrote, he said, therefore we conclude that a man is justified. How? Therefore we conclude a man is justified by what? By faith, without the deeds of the law. Because the church in his time was teaching justification by faith plus works. Works in form of sacrament, in form of works of satisfaction, in form of penance, in form of all those things. For him, he saw that the Bible says a man is justified. What does it mean to be justified? To be declared righteous. That's what it means to be justified. But part of the problem, sir, is that the New Testament was written originally in Greek. Watch this. Now, instead of it to be translated, the meaning from the Greek, the people were checking the Latin Vulgate translation of this word justify. And the Latin Vulgate translation of this word justify, that's let me not bother you with the Latin word for this word justified. The Latin word actually means to make righteous instead of declared righteous. Okay, the Greek meaning means to declare righteous. That one is make righteous. And that further fueled the doctrine of works. Are you seeing something? So they are now trying to meet up the righteous requirement by adding works to the faith. And that was what the church was teaching. But the original Greek means declared righteous. Are you seeing something? Okay. Galatians 3:11. We'll come back here. Watch this. Galatians 3:11. It says, but that no man is justified by the law. Can you see it again? No man is justified or declared righteous by the Mosaic law, the law of Moses. And I told you there are over 613 laws. When we say the law of Moses, it's not limited to Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments is just a small part. There are over a total of 613. You go and study them there, see them, Leviticus, Exodus, just be reading, be counting them. 613. Nobody could keep the law. Nobody. And the funny part is that if you keep all and you are guilty of one, you keep 612, you only broke one, you are guilty of all. Is that not serious? That if you score 612 out of 613 in school, won't they give you a award of excellence? But in the Old Testament, you are guilty of all. That's how you have to get 100% for you to be judged. Are you seeing something? See, God then the law, he no work. That was why he had to send Jesus. Are you seeing something? But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Now go back to that Galatians 3:28. Martin Luther saw this, that we are justified by faith alone. Sola fide in Latin. Faith alone, not by faith plus works. Are you seeing something? Self-effort, all those things. No. The Bible says, we conclude a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Okay? So, that was the revelation according to scripture. Our justification, being declared righteous before God, is by faith in the finished work of Christ. Faith in what Jesus has accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. Are you seeing something? Faith in his blood sacrifice. So, we are justified by faith alone, but not by faith that is alone. Should I say it again? Okay, give me James 2:26. We are justified by faith alone in the finished work of Christ, but we are not justified by faith that is alone, because there is what we call corresponding action of faith. Are you seeing something? Am I confusing you? Are you getting it? The Bible says faith without works. The works here is not the works of the law. For as a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works. Now, can you see two different kind of works? The works in Romans 3:28 is the works of the law. The works here is the corresponding action of faith. The things you do when you are in faith. The things, these works here, the works of faith, are the things that faith in your heart will motivate you to say, and motivate you to do, and motivate you to act. Are you getting me? Spirit-inspired action. Powered and fueled by the faith in your heart. You know, initially I told you Martin Luther didn't like the book of James, because he keeps saying works. James was trying to argue here. But what James was actually trying to say is there are corresponding actions that follow faith, okay? Martin Luther thought that this works here is talking of the law that him he was trying to fight. Are you seeing it? So that's why I made that statement. We are justified by faith alone in the finished work of Christ, not by faith that is alone. Because faith is not alone per se. It comes with corresponding actions of faith, the works of faith. Are you seeing something? Faith in your heart will move you to say something and do something now. Abi, by faith, Noah was moved to prepare the ark to the saving of his family. Faith in your heart will move you to say something and do something. Are you getting me? Is that clear? Oti clear. We are justified by faith alone, but not by faith that is alone. So if I'm giving you exam now, I said, explain the meaning of this statement. We are justified by faith alone, but not by faith that is alone. Will you answer? Can you answer it well? Hallelujah. Okay, in this concluding session, we'll be looking at this, 2 Peter 3:18. 2 Peter 3:18. Glory to God. I say glory to God. 2 Peter 3:18. He said, but grow in grace. Tell your neighbor, grow in grace. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever and ever. So we'll be looking at how to grow in grace. Glory to God. How to grow in grace. You see, grace is so important. The economy of God's kingdom runs on the grace of God. Okay? The Bible talks about the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:7. The riches of his grace. Glory to God. The riches of his grace. He said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness, ephesus, of sins. Okay? According to the riches of his grace. So can you see that? The forgiveness of our sin and the redemption we have in Christ is according to the riches of God's grace. Am I communicating? Am I communicating? Am I communicating? The Ephesians 2:7, the riches of his grace. That expression refers to all the various varied manifestations and expressions of God's grace. Okay? It comes in various forms. Okay? The riches of his grace, money is part of it, but money is not all of it. In fact, money is a tiny part of it. Okay? The riches of his grace is a very, very broad term that includes all those blessings and benefits of the finished work of Christ. Everything Jesus has paid for is classed under the riches of his grace. Am I communicating? It includes favor, divine favor. Hallelujah. It says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. I told you, even throughout all eternity, we'll still be enjoying the riches of his grace. Listen. All our lifetime on earth is not enough to exhaust the riches of God's grace. Throughout eternity, we'll still be enjoying it. It's so inexhaustible. No wonder Paul talked about the unsearchable riches of Christ. Higher. Ephesians 3 verse 9. Give me Ephesians 3 verse 8. Let's start from verse 8. It says, unto me who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. He's talking of the riches of God's grace. Give me an amplified. You will get it better now. Watch this. Amplified version. Glory to God. I say glory to God. He said, to me, though I am the very least of all the saints, God's consecrated people, this grace, in bracket, favor, privilege, was granted and graciously entrusted to proclaim to the Gentiles the unending, in bracket, boundless, fathomless, incalculable, exhaustless riches of Christ. In parentheses, wealth which no human being, wealth which no human being could have searched out. Can you see the meaning of that word, unsearchable riches of Christ? You know, if you finish them. Am I communicating? Endless. Incalculable. Remove your calculator. You know, if you calculate them. Glory to God. So, that riches of his grace includes divine favor, includes prosperity, wealth and riches, includes kindness, God's benevolence, God's mercy. Are you seeing something? It includes even the Holy Spirit. It's a gift of grace. Am I communicating? It includes the seven spirits of God. It includes the manifestations of the gift of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. All of them, they are under the riches of God's grace. Glory to God. They are included. They call them grace gifts, charismatic. Those charismatic gifts, spiritual endowment. It includes the anointing, the power of God. It includes supernatural strength. I'm just showing you the component, some of the components that make up the riches of his grace. Hallelujah. It includes supernatural success, promotion, increase, progress, multiplication, productivity. Hallelujah. It includes all those benefits of redemption in Psalm 103. If you read from verse 1 to 12. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. It started listing them. Forgiveness and remission of sins. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities? So, you see, the forgiveness and remission of our sins through the blood of Jesus is part of the riches of God's grace. Am I communicating? Divine healing and health is part of the riches of God's grace. Psalm 103. Hallelujah. Verse 3. You see, so the forgiveness and remission of our sins is part of the riches of God's grace. Divine healing and health, who healed all thy diseases. There is no sickness that doesn't have a cure. That a sickness does not yet have a medical cure does not make it incurable. In the economy of grace, all sickness are what? Healable. They have a cure. And in fact, the grace of God has already paid for them. Are you seeing something? Divine healing, divine health, they are part of the riches of God's grace. They are all part of our inheritance. This is the commonwealth of Zion we are talking about. Glory to God. It includes divine provisions. Go down. Who redeemed thy life from destruction? That's deliverance from death, destruction, tragedies, calamities. They are all part of the riches of God's grace. Supernatural security, supernatural safety, preservation and protection. They are all part of the riches of God's grace. Hallelujah. The riches of God's grace also includes... No. Hold it there. Verse 4. He said, who crowned thee with his loving kindness and tender mercy? That loving kindness there is favor. Hallelujah. They are all part of the riches of God's grace. Loving kindness, the favor of God, tender mercies, the mercies of God, his unfailing love. Glory to God. Next, verse 5. Who satisfied thy mouth with good things? Abundance. This is our year of abundance. Some people have even forgotten. Can you now see why I said, you see, that first two messages that was that prophetic service that I did an in-depth exposition on the prophetic team. You now see why I said that message, you should be, that part one and two is a message you should be hearing every week throughout the year. You have to keep hearing it and what? War with it in faith. Pray it out. Are you getting me? Prophesy it out throughout the year. Because you will hear other things that we want to steal that word from your heart. When you hear news more than you hear God's word, how can your faith grow? Impossible. You went to bed on Instagram, you woke up with Facebook, in between you went to pee in the night, you were TikToking on TikTok in bathroom. How can faith grow? And then you on news, all you are hearing, Naira is now $1 is now 2,000 naira. Glory to God. The Bible says faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by what? The word of God. Hear God's word more than you are hearing all this noise if you want your faith to grow. I'm telling you the truth. Hear what will build your faith, or else your faith will die. It will cripple. Glory to God. You have to be intentional. Tell your neighbor, be intentional. So, supernatural supplies. Who satisfied thy mouth with good things? Supernatural supplies, divine provisions, they are part of the riches of God's grace. Superabundance. Glory to God. Jesus has already paid for them. Am I communicating? You have the legal rights to them. They are part of it. It says so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's talking of supernatural strength. They are part of the riches of his grace. So that you are not weak like vegetable. Am I communicating? So all of that, the riches of his grace. Now, how do you grow in grace very fast? Number one, how do you grow in grace? How do you grow in grace? How do you grow in grace? Hallelujah. How do you grow in grace? The giving that Matthew 11:29. There are two major keys there. Thank you. Walk with me. Okay, put it this way. Walking with God. Then put in brackets, communion or fellowship with God. Put it that way. The number one key, if you want to grow in grace, is that you must learn to walk with God. You grow in grace by walking with God. In brackets, communion or fellowship with God. You can call it intimacy with God. Hallelujah. You grow in grace through intimacy with God. Hallelujah. He said, walk with me. And when you walk with God, you assess grace. And then you can now do the work. Hallelujah. And walk with me. I say, attempting to do the work of God without the grace of God is practicing to commit suicide. Is practicing how to die. Are you seeing that? God, listen, God sponsors us with his grace. Anything God calls you or tells you to do, he gives you the grace to do it. All you need to do is to say yes, and the grace is there. Am I communicating? And you assess that grace by walking with him, through intimacy with him, spending time with God, quality time, hallelujah, fellowshipping with God, communion with God. Glory to God. Okay, look at Genesis 6 verse 8. The first time the word grace was mentioned. But Noah found grace. Right? Noah found grace. Right? In the midst of judgment, destruction, corruption, and all of that. In the midst of corruption, in the midst of wickedness, the earth was full of wickedness, and God made up his mind to what? Destroy the earth through that judgmental flood. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now read the next verse. Read the next verse. Verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. You now see why he found grace in the eyes of God. He walked with God. Just like Enoch. Give me Genesis 5 verse, is it 24? Genesis 5 verse 24. Another man that walked with God and accessed so much grace that he even experienced private rapture. Glory to God. The guy jogged and jogged out of this realm. He said, and Enoch walked with God and he was not. For God took him. God took him. God so enjoyed fellowship with Enoch. You understand? God, just come, I beg. Come and stay. You understand? What are you still doing in that earth? I see something. Fellowship. Don't be too busy not to fellowship with God. Listen, the presence of God is the headquarters of grace. You know, in Exodus 33. Moses cried to God. He said, if I have found grace in thy sight. So grace is located in his sight. And the sight there is talking of the face of God. And the face of God is translated as his presence. Are you listening? Be intentional about investing quality and quantity time in fellowship with God. Be intentional, because that is the number one secret of grace. The person that spends time in fellowship with God cannot lack grace. Impossible. Grace will be poured into your lips. Grace will be, the oil of fresh grace will be released on your head. There will be a rub off as you fellowship with God. There will be a rub off of God's grace. Am I communicating? The Holy Spirit himself is called the Spirit of Grace. Give me 2 Corinthians 13:14. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Grace. So the more intimate you are with the Holy Spirit, the more you fellowship with him, the more you enjoy the flow of grace. Am I communicating? You see, grace is in levels. There are different dimensions of grace. There are different levels of grace. Then there are different kinds of grace. Am I communicating? There are varieties of grace. There are different kinds of grace. Then grace is also in levels. Are you seeing something? It's in dimension, it's in level. But listen, the more you fellowship with God, the more you increase in grace. The more you grow in grace. There will be more grace released upon you. Am I communicating? For instance, now, corporately, during Festival of Fire, we're here with God. Do you think that the grace that we came to Festival of Fire with yesterday and the grace we left with, are they at the same level? No. We increased in grace. As we spend that 12 hours in intimacy with God, fellowshipping with God, marinating in His presence, am I communicating? Communing with Him, we increase in grace. Hallelujah. Every opportunity to fellowship with God, whether it is personal, private fellowship or corporate fellowship, don't miss out. Because it's an opportunity to what? Upgrade in grace. To increase in grace. He said the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? Where's my marker? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He says, be with you all. Is it there? Okay, it's down. Thank you, sir. Watch three major players there. Watch this. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God. This one, grace was associated with Jesus. Love was associated with Father God. Then fellowship, communion of the Holy Spirit, right? And what? Communion associated with the Holy Ghost, right? Because the Holy Ghost is the God in us now, right? So we fellowship with God through His Spirit based on His Word. Watch this. There is a connection between the three. Just follow my explanation. Are you seeing something? It says, if you want to access grace, it starts with the communion of the Holy Spirit. Watch this. When you commune with God, you fellowship with God through His Spirit, it transports you into the experience of the love of God. Do you know the more you fellowship with God, the more you experience the love of God? Have you been there? As you fellowship with God through His Word, through prayers, through worship, you know, there's this experience of God's love. Give me Romans chapter 5, verse 5. The Bible said the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. By who? The Holy Spirit. So, it's a hope maker, not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. So, as you fellowship with the Holy Ghost, remember the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace. He's also the Spirit of love. Watch this. As you fellowship with Him, He shed abroad the love of God in your heart. And remember, love is the mother of grace. So, when the love of God is shed in your heart by the Holy Ghost, as you come to the experiential knowledge of this, it transports you into the experience of God's grace. Can you see how the three are connected? It gives you more grace. Remember, love is the mother of grace. For God so loved the world. God so loved the world. John 3:16, that He gave grace, His only begotten Son. Grace and truth came how? Through Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And what did Jesus bring? Grace. And Jesus is grace in person. Are you getting this? So love is the motivation for grace. It was the love of God that motivated Him to give us grace. That's why I made that statement. Love is the mother of grace. The goodness of God is love nature. God is love. God is good. That's why He gave us grace. Are you seeing something? So, you now understand that 2 Corinthians 13:14. Give us an amplified. It says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you want to enjoy it, you start with communion, okay, with the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the favor, spiritual blessing of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the presence and fellowship, the communion. So you learn to commune with God through His Spirit. You that sharing together, koinonia, glory to God, that participation, that intimacy, that intercourse, that distribution, that partnership with the Holy Ghost. Am I communicating? He says, be with you all. So, how do you commune with God? How do you commune with God? How do you fellowship with God? So, we said number one key, if you want to assess and grow in grace, is through communion, fellowship. So, how do you fellowship with God? You can put it as 1A. Number one, through His Word. Put in bracket, revelation knowledge of the truth. Through His Word, revelation knowledge of the truth. Okay? You commune with God through His Word. Remember, Acts 20:32. He says, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace. The word of God is called the word of His grace. The word of God is called the word of His grace. So, the more you study and meditate on that word, the more grace is granted you. Are you seeing something? So, you spend time studying God's word. You read it, you study it, you meditate upon it. Am I communicating? Then you do it. Revelation knowledge of the truth. The more you revelation you access from God's word, the more you grow in grace. Give me 2 Peter 1:2. 2 Peter 1:2. Revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge. It says, and grace and peace, charis and irene, be multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Can you shout amen? Amen. So can you see that the knowledge of God is a multiplying factor of grace? Nothing multiplies grace in your life like revelation knowledge. Nothing, see, the light of revelation knowledge is a multiplier of grace. It's a multiplier of grace. Glory to God. Look at it. We are all born again Christian. God is our Father. The same Christian life, the same grace is made available to us. How come we all have different results? It's because the level of revelation knowledge, the level of light is not the same for every Christian. Am I communicating? Your revelation is what determines your experience. Your revelation is what determines your manifestation. Your revelation determines the result you get. So it's not God's fault. Are you getting me? Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Prize the knowledge of God above everything else. Do you know knowledge of the truth of God's word is more important than any other form of knowledge? Am I communicating? Read the Bible more than you read any other book. I'm not saying you shouldn't read other books, but this Bible is the most important book you should read. Hunt for light. Read with hunger in your heart. Read as someone desperate to receive something. Am I communicating? Next verse, he said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. He said, according as his divine power has given unto us, how many things? All things. These are the provision of grace that pertain unto us, that pertain unto life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Listen, in this kingdom, ignorance is no bliss. So, he said, God, according as his divine power, has already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. But They are channeled to us through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. So if you lack revelation knowledge, you cannot enjoy all those things. Are you seeing something? How can you enjoy your inheritance in darkness? You partake of your inheritance in Christ, those provision of God's grace, in light. Satan's power is your ignorance. This year, declare war, total war against ignorance. The power of the oppressor is the ignorance of the oppressed. Everywhere there is ignorance, there must be bondage and captivity. My people perish because they lack knowledge. Hosea 4 verse 6. There is ignorance. Ignorance problem. Isaiah 5:13. Therefore my people are gone into captivity because they lack knowledge. See, there are some revelation. When they explode in your spirit, you will walk out of some situation powered by light. You take your flight on the strength of light. Am I communicating? You shift to the next level of grace. You fly on the strength of the light of revelation knowledge. John 8:32, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and that truth that you know and you apply with understanding shall make you free. So revelation knowledge of the truth fuels freedom. Are you seeing something? Bishop Oyedepo once made a very profound statement. He said, there are no mountains anywhere. Every man's ignorance is his mountain. So the real mountain you must conquer first is ignorance. Listen, you know, the greatest deliverance is deliverance from ignorance. It's not even deliverance from demons. See, ignorance will destroy your life even more than 1 billion demons put together as a Christian. Am I speaking Greek? Ignorance is a worse enemy than even Satan for a believer. Because Satan thrives on your ignorance to oppress you. The power of the oppressor is the ignorance of the oppressed. How can Satan, that the Bible says has been defeated, still is oppressing you illegally and you are still allowing him? It says, through knowledge shall the just be delivered into their inheritance. They shall be delivered through revelation knowledge. They will be delivered from sickness. They will be delivered from oppression of the devil, delivered from poverty, lack, and scarcity. How? Through revelation knowledge. Go for light. You want to grow in grace? Tell your neighbor, go for light. You can't enjoy grace or the provision of grace when you are in ignorance. Revelation knowledge is a multiplying factor for grace. The more you assess revelation knowledge of the truth, the more you shift gears in grace. The revelation of the person of Jesus Christ unlocks the flow of grace. Am I communicating? The revelation of the finished work of Christ, revelation knowledge of what Jesus has already accomplished for us through his finished works, through his shameful and painful suffering, through his vicarious death, through his burial, resurrection, revelation knowledge of our inheritance in Christ as a result of Jesus' sacrifice, our blood-bought inheritance, revelation knowledge of who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, what we can do through Christ. This is what sponsors the flow of grace. Am I communicating? You can't grow in grace when you are ignorant of this truth. You can be a Christian for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and your life will not change if you don't have access to revelation knowledge of the truth. This is what unlocks the flow of grace. Am I communicating? So you commune with God, number one, through his word, right? And I said that talks of accessing revelation knowledge
of the truth of God's word.
The second way you commune with God is through prayers.
Glory to God.
Through prayers. Especially praying in the spirit. Especially praying in the spirit.
Glory to God.
Hebrews 4 verse 16. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace.
Hallelujah.
You know, our corporate Friday prayer meeting is titled what? Throne of Grace Encounter Service. So we come to access more grace.
Glory to God.
To encounter God's grace. So you engage in heartfelt prayer. Is it the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available? And power is a manifestation of God's grace, dynamic in its working. Glory to God. You assess grace on the platform of prayer. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. The throne of God is called the throne of grace. The seat that God sits upon is called mercy seat. That we may obtain mercy. Mercy is waiting for you, dear. Go and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Am I communicating? When you are in need, don't call for pity party. Don't cry and be soaking handkerchief with your tears alone. Go before God. Hallelujah. There is a standing invitation. He said, come to the throne of grace. Come and find grace. In other words, grace is waiting for you, dear. Find grace in time of need. Amplify, say, you receive well-timed help, appropriate help for your every need. Can you shout amen? Amen. So the altar of prayer is the altar for accessing grace. Acts chapter 4, verse 30. Acts chapter 4, verse 30. Acts 4:30. Okay, 31. When Apostle Peter and John were threatened not to preach or teach anymore in the name of Jesus, the Bible says they returned to their own company, and when they prayed corporately, the Bible says the place where they had when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Hallelujah. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Then verse 33. Jump to verse 33. Malabaya, and with great power gave the apostle witness of the resurrection, and great grace was upon them all. They assessed great grace on the altar of prayer, corporate prayer in this context. The more you pray, the more you get grace. Are you getting my point? The more God increases the grace on your life. They prayed their way from regular grace to great grace, from normal grace to great grace. And with great grace comes great power or ability. With greater level of grace comes greater level of the anointing. Am I communicating? Shaka bosa bakataya. Le brendo sofrakatia. So every time you see opportunity to pray, you have opportunity to pray, just know that it's opportunity to grow in grace. The altar of prayer is the altar for accessing great grace. And with great grace comes great power. In Luke chapter 9 verse 29, Jesus prayed at the Mount of Transfiguration. He took with him Peter, James and John. And he accessed great grace. And when he was coming down, they were interrupted by that father of that boy that was possessed with epilepsy, spirit of epilepsy, epileptic demon. Even though Jesus called it a dumb and a deaf spirit, manifesting grand mal seizure. Let me use medical term. Typical epilepsy. The spirit would throw him into fire, throw him into this one, start fuming, coming out of his mouth, all of that manifestation of epilepsy. He said, I gave it your disciple, but they could not. Jesus said, oh, unbelieving perverse generation, how long will I suffer? He said, bring the child. While he was yet coming, the demon threw him out. Jesus then commanded that demon. He rebuked him, commanded him to come out. And Jesus delivered that boy from that spirit. And the Bible says the people were amazed at the great power of God. Jesus prayed this way. Remember, in Luke 4:14, when he returned in the power of the Spirit, after 40 days prayer and fasting, he returned in the power of the Spirit. He returned in the power of the Spirit. And the fame of him spread abroad. But after praying at the Mount of Transfiguration, he had shifted gears from regular power or normal power to great power. So the people were surprised, astonished at the mighty power of God. Jesus prayed his way from normal grace that manifests normal power to great grace, mighty grace manifesting as mighty power. Are you seeing something? The anointing upon your life will grow to the degree that the grace upon your life grows. They go together. Hallelujah. The third way you commune with God, we say the first way is through his word, second way through prayer, the third way is through worship and praise. Worship and praise. Hallelujah. So as you engage the spirit of grace and supplication in prayer, don't forget that the highest dimension of prayer is praise. Okay, praise and worship. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 13, verse 2, in that minister's conference in the church at Antioch, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, give me an amplified, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. This was when Paul and Barnabas were separated to start their apostolic work. Okay? They began their apostolic ministry. He said, while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Ghost said, separate now for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Can you shout amen? So you learn to spend time in worship. 2 Chronicles 5:13. You praise God, you worship him. Glory to God. Instead of playing those yeah music that are not edifying. You know, just later you wonder why demons are chasing you. Why wouldn't they chase you in your dream? Those songs, is it the Holy Spirit that inspired them? So the spirit that inspired those songs, so called secular music you are listening to, they will come after you even in your sleep. Say every time masquerade is pursuing me. Check the song you've been listening to when you were awake. You can't be listening to Benny in worship or maybe Nathaniel Bassi and demons will now be chasing you in your dream. It's angels that will be coming with blessings, or they will even be singing with trumpet for you. You understand? It matters what you expose your spirit to. It's not every song you should hear. Say it is a raining song. Am I communicating? See, every song is inspired by a spirit. And your spirit will respond to it. It's spirit to spirit communication. Sometimes it's beyond the lyrics, it's beyond the words they are singing. Oh. There was one yeah guy that sang one song, butu, Alaji. Do you know that song? Was it that he won Grammy? It was nominated for Grammy. Tell me tell me the lyrics. Did he say anything? His beat, though, those beats were imported from the realm of the spirit, from the underworld. And you see people dancing it in parties, clubs, nightclubs, with the spirit of immorality accompanying the song. You see ladies dancing naked in strip club. You see people having all manner of rubbish, sex, spirit of lust. You know, just a bit of allergy. That's all. Oh. Nothing else the guy is saying. Yet, the song spread like wildfire. Is that not to show you that there are spirits that follow song? It's not normal. Are you listening? They hear Theophilus Sunday chanting. And you see the presence and power of God. See, songs are not normal. It matters the kind. You just carry the average believer. Let's check your phone. Maybe one Sunday we'll just put. We'll do phone policing. No, phone search. I will stand at that gate. Everybody, operation, submit your phone. We will check everything, all the song inside the video. You understand? Is it edifying? Glory to God. You come to church on Sunday. Then from Monday to Saturday, you fill your heart and mind and spirit with rubbish. And you wonder why your faith is not growing. It doesn't work like that. 2 Chronicles 5:13. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singer were as one, to make one sound, not two sound, one. That's why unity is important in worship. Everybody must be united. The singers, the instrumentalists. If one person is in the flesh, others are in the spirit. Ah. In the physical, you may be singing, but the sound, you are producing different sound in the realm of the spirit, because there is no unity. You are not united as one. Are you seeing something? He said they were as one. They were all in the spirit. To make one sound heard. Tired. This is how to provoke the manifestation of God's glory. When there is this unity in worship, everybody is in the spirit, united as one, flowing with the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Not that the person playing drum is thinking of his girlfriend. You know, some drummers are very funny. In fact, some of them, they just hire them to play keyboard. You know, they are just thinking of how much their salary, that's the pay after the service. Service no consign them. Their mind no day there. Are you seeing something? Because there are churches that they hire instrumentalists. Some of them are not even born again, but they are very skillful. So they will play for this church. Tomorrow, when they hear another church is paying bigger money, they move. Say, we move. They will tell the pastor, God spoke to me last night that my time of service here has expired. It's time to move to the next. Now, lie. Somebody has just given them a higher offer. He sees something. You are paying 100k. That person says, is it 100k they are giving you? Come, we'll give you 200. We'll double it. They are business people. They are not in the spirit. Very carnal. They'll all be playing the thing. In the spirit, they are making. Glory to God. That's why we say, before you come and minister, whether as an instrumentalist, spend time praying in tongues. It's not just playing the thing. It's a ministration. You are ministering the spirit. Are you getting me? It's a ministration of the spirit. You must be in the spirit. You must flow with the Holy Ghost. You must be spirit led. So spend time, meditate on God's word. David the psalmist knew the secret of meditating on the word. Then what he had was the Torah. He said, thy word is my meditation. He will meditate on it so much that prophetic songs will start coming out from his meditation. There are people that they will sit down and be cracking their head to write song, think, 20 minutes, 1 hour. There are those that they download them. Why? They are so full of the word and they are full of the spirit. So they easily receive from the Holy Ghost. Divine download. Are you seeing something? So you must be full of the Spirit and you must be full of the Word. That's why I want choir to start. If I start giving a location of scriptures, is every member of intimacy 10 chapters per day? of this scripture. You meditate on it. You pray in tongues 1 hour before every glory service.
No. You see, or else you just be, you know, they are worshippers, then they are noisemakers.
Evangelist Mike Bamiloye of Mount Zion, the visionary of Mount Zion, he said how he finally obeyed the call of God and then decided to submit his gift for God to anoint and use. And we are enjoying his ministry today, through of us. He said it was a program he attended, and a lady sang higher. A lady led worship and sang and brought down, in quote, the presence of God. He said he was in that meeting, he came under the convicting power of God. Before then, he had been this kind of Christian, one leg in, one leg out. Are you getting me? He was an unserious believer. He was even writing. Is there any time those days when somebody want to write letter for his girlfriend, they will consult him? He said he was very good with writing. He said, if it is writing, forget him. He submitted it. He used to write all this kind of play letter and all of that, but it was secular, worldly. He said it was in that meeting he encountered God, because somebody prepared and ministered well in song. A lady led worship and sang. He said he was crying, and then he heard the voice of God. God said, will you submit your life and submit your writing gift so that I can use you? He said that was where he dedicated his life. And then he started writing Christian drama. And from writing Christian drama, they started acting. From acting, Mount Zion was born. You don't know whose destiny depends on you. Your ministration. You don't know whose destiny depends on it. Prepare well. Am I communicating? As they were thanking God, praising him, they lifted up their voice with trumpet, cymbal, instrument of music, and praise the Lord, saying, for his good, his mercy endureth forever. He said, then the house was filled with the cloud. That's the glory of God. Shekinah. Even the house of God. And then he said the priest could not enter. Can you shout amen? Next, how do you grow in grace? Go back to that Matthew 11 verse 29. Just give me in King James Version. The next key I will give you is humility. Meekness and humility. Glory to God. You must be humble. You must be meek. You want to grow in grace? Don't be proud. Pride is a killer of grace. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. The first thing you should learn is humility, meekness. He said, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Meekness. Meekness. Hallelujah. Moses, give me Numbers 12 verse 3. Moses was the meekest man upon the earth, according to Numbers 12 verse 3. Moses was the meekest man. God gives more grace to the humble. God gives grace to the meek. Hallelujah. He said, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And what was the result? Look at Deuteronomy 34 verse 10. Let's see the result of his meekness. Deuteronomy 34:10. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Next verse. In all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, and to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land. Next verse. And in all that mighty hand, and in the all the great terror which Moses showed in all the sight of Israel, all those miracles, signs and wonders, supernatural display. Moses pastored the greatest church in the Bible. His congregation was how many? 3 point, even in history, Moses pastored a church of 3.5 million people. Moses, the children of Israel, he pastored. And Moses is the greatest prophet in the history of... He talk of the Jews. The Jews believe till date Moses is the greatest prophet. That is a... We are not counting Jesus now. Am I communicating? Jesus was more than a prophet now. We all know he's the Son of God in flesh. Glory to God. They believe Moses is the greatest. In all those signs, wonders, there is nobody. And what was the secret of that grace? Somebody say meekness. 1 Peter 5 verse 5. 1 Peter 5 verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Okay? Ye, all of you, be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility. For God resisted the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Hallelujah. So God resists the proud. He gives more grace to the humble. Glory to God. Verse 6. Shalabakosata. He said, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Hallelujah. The Bible says, before honor is humility. Before destruction is pride. Pride is the siren that... One that you hear before somebody gets destroyed. What brought Satan? What made Satan to lose his place in heaven? Eh? It was pride. Pride is a killer of grace. Is there any time you walk in pride, you remind God of Satan and his rebellion? You see why God resists the proud? He elbows the proud like this. But he gives more grace to the humble. Glory to God. No matter what God is has blessed you with, or no matter what God is using you to do, be humble. Okay? Don't allow it to enter your head. Don't be puffed up. You are not puff. Be calming down. Am I communicating? Nebuchadnezzar learned humility the hard way in the school of animacology. For 7 years. He graduated after 7 years. Equivalent to studying medicine. Plus 1 year as master. That's 6 years. Yes, now. He was posted to learn humility there. Are you seeing something? Pride just entered his head one day. He stood. He said, is this not Babylon? Babylon was a dead world power. Very rich, very wealthy. He says, is this not Babylon that I have built with my own power? Kai! The Bible says, while he was still talking, there was a decree. A decree went forth from the watcher. He said, cut him down, oh, cut him down. And Daniel had warned him, oh. God showed him in a dream. That's God showed Nebuchadnezzar what was about to happen. Daniel interpreted the dream. And Daniel gave him counsel. He said, humble yourself, oh king. But you know here, the prophecy still happened. That dream, that prophetic dream still came to pass. And then he was banished from the land of the living. Was with wild animals. May you not become like Nebuchadnezzar. Pride is a killer of grace. Can you remember that story of Renard Bonnke and Richard Ingidi? It was Pastor Mavenk that presented that for us. The right-hand man that was called to work with Evangelist Renard Bonnke those days. It was pride that made that man to lose out to. Pride. He used to be the one that usually... minister to the sick and all of that, because he moved in the miraculous. Then Renard Bonnke was not moving in the miraculous. He was not seeing as that grace for miracles, healing was not manifesting in his life yet. All he knew how to do, that's Renard Bonnke, was just to preach. So they were like doing a partnership. Okay, even though it was Renard Bonnke that God called, God now called Richard Ingidi to work with him. So, Renard Bonnke will preach the gospel raw as it is. then Richard Ngidi will now start moving in the supernatural, ministering to the sick, miracles will start happening and all of that. Then it's a black man. The thing entered his head one day. He said, Kai, this radar bunky is using me to shine. He said, after all, it's because of this me, these miracles I'm performing, that's why people are coming. That the day I leave this Renard Bonnke, the ministry will die. Then one meeting like that, Renard Bonnke had announced there will be miracles, the blind will see, the dead will, God will do all those things. And then suddenly Richard Ngidi refused to show up, out of pride. The guy said, let me see how you will do now. God go catch him today. He must be disgraced today. So Richard Ngidi refused to come. Hey! Renard Bonnke went before God. He said, oh God, we have already announced, bring the sick, all of that. Lord, what will I do? God said, don't worry, go, I'll be with you. And then he finished preaching. Now it's time to minister to the sick. He said, in the name of Jesus, if you are blind, put your hands there. If you are this, in the name of Jesus, I command every blind eye see. He just did it by faith. He has never seen any miracle before, he himself. He said, blind eyes see. Then there was silence for some seconds. Then suddenly there was shout. Somebody said, I can see. And the miracles kept happening. And you all know how his ministry ended. Now, instead of his ministry dying, when Richard Ngidi left, the thing exploded and went global. So, where is Richard Ngidi? Where is he? You see what pride can do to people. You know, there are some people, they think, if I'm not around, that ministry, things will not happen. Never come to that point that you think that without you, things will not happen. It's pride. You'll be surprised that without you, God will even do more. Just to prove to you that it's a privilege. It's a privilege to serve. Even this ministry, AGMI, there were some people that had this mentality. They think that without them, this ministry will die. But to their surprise, when they left, the ministry exploded and is still moving. And now, they now look at the ministry from far. They are even angry. You know, usually when you leave a ministry, except God help you, honestly, every progress you see in the ministry will be annoying you. Yes. Because in your pride, you are expecting the ministry to go down, to fail. But anytime you see them making more progress in your absence, the thing will even annoy you more if God does not help you. You now see why some people, they talk against ministries when they leave. That is the dilemma they are in. But we still love them anyway. I say we still love them anyway. Glory to God. Tell your neighbor, be humble. James chapter 4 verse 6. James chapter 4 verse 6. Glory to God. Are you learning something? You must grow in grace. Oh, it's our month of great grace. He said, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resisted the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Hallelujah. Then the next key, you want to grow in grace, is walk in love. Love for God and love for men. Walk in love. Love for God and love for humanity. Glory to God. Walking in love. Walking in love. Avoid every form of strife. Avoid offense. Avoid bitterness. Give me Hebrews chapter 12 verse 15. Refuse to be bitter. Listen, people will do things to annoy you. People will do things to offend you. Jesus said it is impossible that offense will not come. It will come. What is more important is how you respond to the offense. How do you respond? Respond in love. Refuse to be offended. Forgive and forget. Walk in forgiveness. Are you getting me? People will annoy you. People will say all manner of things. See, just make up your mind. If practice the law of advanced forgiveness. You know the law of advanced forgiveness? It states that you should forgive people up front, even before they offend you. So that when they finally offend you, that's not when you are thinking, should I forgive them? Should I not forgive them? You've already forgiven them. So just release the forgiveness to them. Am I communicating? Am I for communicating? Hallelujah. I say hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Forgive. Look at Joseph. With all what his brethren did to him. Hey, if it were some of you that God raised to prime minister position, and then you are the number two man in Egypt, and then you now saw your brethren, you know, Joseph recognized them, but they did not recognize him. You know why? Because level don't change. Why did he recognize them? They were still wearing the same trouser. Ah, is this all Reuben? He knew them. They never change. Is that not opportunity? If Joseph wanted to revenge, fire. But he chose the way of forgiveness. He said, you meant it for evil. God has turned it around for good. God sent me ahead of you to preserve life. He said, go and bring my father. Tell him I'm alive. They had lied to the father that Joseph, a wild animal, had eaten him. And he carried that coat of many colors that the father gave him. They killed an animal, put the blood on it, and they went and showed the father as evidence, false evidence. He said, go and tell him I'm alive. When they told the father did not believe him. Because in the father's mind, he has already buried Joseph in his mind. Joseph is gone, he's dead. Now they are telling him Joseph is alive, that he's the prime minister of the dead world power, Egypt. He didn't believe. But when he saw the wagon, wagon in our day is like all these Phantom Rolls Royce. Which one again? Bugatti? Eh? Mercedes S-Class? Eh? Which one? When he saw the wagon that Joseph sent, the Bible says his spirit revived. He said, it's okay. I'm finally convinced my son is alive. Glory to God. Walk in forgiveness. Hallelujah. Husband and wife forgive each other. They say marriage is two forgivers, husband and wife living together. Hallelujah. You see, sometimes in marriage, husband is beefing wife, wife is beefing husband. Eh? Bitterness, unforgiveness, they are poisonous. Don't store them in your heart. Offload them. Am I communicating? Listen, do you know that the person harboring unforgiveness and bitterness is doing more harm to their life? Now they are thinking they are doing that to get at the person that offended them. They don't know that they are causing more damage. Listen, refusing to forgive someone is like drinking poison and expecting the person to die. If you drink poison, who will die? It's you now. So let go and let God. He said, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. That word fail means to cut off. So bitterness can cut off the flow of God's grace in your life. Anyone fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. That word in the Greek, defile, also means poison. The root of bitterness can poison your life, can poison you, can contaminate you, and cut off the flow of grace. Say with me, I choose to forgive. I refuse to be bitter. I refuse to walk in strife. Ephesians 4 verse 31. Ephesians 4 verse 31. Glory to God. Are you learning something? Because you must grow in grace in this season. He said, let all bitterness and rot and anger. Hi. Some people, anger. When they vex, they break plate. Break TV self. There was a woman, her husband annoyed her. She carried their little baby for ground. I go kill him. Yeah, man. Hi. See, some angers are demonic. It's not normal. Some people, when they are angry, their body is shaking. Abel, calm down. Calm down. Hi. Direct the anger at the devil. Your life will have made progress. Not directing it at the wrong people. Hallelujah. See, if you are very angry and you know that what will come out, most of the time when you are angry, anything that comes out of your mouth is not going to be good. It's better not to even talk. Just carry sellotape. Leave that place. Leave the place. Change environment. Move. When the thing don't boil, don't calm down. You can revisit the matter later. Are you getting me? Anger and clamor and evil speaking. All those backbiting and all of that. Evil speaking. Be put away from you with all malice. Aya. Don't keep malice with anybody. Next verse. All the gossiping here and there. Use the energy to preach the gospel. He said, and be ye kind one to another. Be kind. Some people are wicked. Be kind. Tender hearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Why do we forgive one another? Because God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Listen, you don't forgive people because they deserve it or they merit it. See, as long as your focus is on the person, you want the person to merit it. You want the person to deserve it. You want the person to behave in a way that will now make you decide to forgive. You will never forgive. The reason why you forgive people is for Christ's sake. It's because you yourself, you have been forgiven by God. Am I communicating? The depth of sin you owed God, is it not greater than what the person did against you? God forgave you. Why were yet sinners? Christ died for us. So we forgive people not because of them, but because of Christ. Stop focusing on them. Think of what Christ has done for you. Forgive them. Release your offenders. We forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Then avoid strife, please. The Bible says where there is strife, there is confusion and every evil work. Avoid strife. Glory to God. The blessing of grace does not work with strife, okay? It doesn't work with strife. Avoid strife by all means. In Genesis 13, 5 to 9, you will see there was strife between... Okay, let's look at it. Genesis 13, verse 5. He said, and Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks, herd, and tent. He was blessed just by following Abraham. There is no record that Lot prayed. Nothing. Just by following, he was blessed by association with Abraham. Next verse. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. Next verse. And there was a strife between the headmen of Abraham's cattle and the headmen of Lot's cattle. Okay? And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. Verse 8. Then Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee. Glory to God. So avoid strife by all means. Sometimes, let me tell you something, it's better to allow yourself to be cheated just for peace to reign. Am I communicating? If that will promote, bring peace, let it happen. Let the person just cheat you, no problem. Whatever decision to maintain peace, please take it. Avoid strife by all means. Some of you, because of 10 naira change, you and Keke na pep man, you are trading blows, abusing each other, boiling with anger. For think of it, because of how much, isn't better just dash him the money? You are bigger than that. Am I communicating? Avoid strife. Some of you even pull shirt. You won't try me? He said, let there be no strife between me and thee, between thy headman and my headman, for we be brethren. Abraham was the first to speak broken English, pidgin English. We be brethren. For we be brethren. Am I communicating? He said, it's not the land between us. If you go north, I will go south. You go east. Are you getting me? Even though Abraham was a senior, yet he even gave to Lot the preference to choose first, just to maintain no strife. Are you seeing something? Just to maintain relationship. Some of you, because of money matter, you don't fight with friends tire. In fact, you are no longer friends, self. You know, money can spoil friendship. Hey! Money have spoiled so many people friendship. Oh. Two friends went into business. Even lawyer, no fit settle the matter then. Say no grief for anybody. Are you listening? So walk in love. Tell your neighbor, walk in love. Acts chapter 24, verse 16. Paul said, I have exercised my conscience to be void of offense towards God and towards men. So you must always exercise your conscience. Exercise yourself and always have a conscience that is void of offense towards God and toward men. Refuse offense. Okay? Next key. Number what now? Walking in grace. Next key is faith. Faith. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Faith. Glory to God. Faith. Shabagadaya. Lebregedoska. He said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are justified by faith in verse 1. Verse 2. He said, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Where do we stand? We stand in the land of grace, right? How do we have access to that grace? Through faith. Can you shout amen? So listen, you access grace by faith. It is with the hand of faith you take delivery of the provision of grace. It is with the hand of faith you take delivery of all the provisions of grace. You access grace through faith. The more you grow in faith, the more you grow in grace. Am I communicating? By faith we have access. Without faith there is no access. And faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by what? The word of God. Are we together? So you use the word of God to build your faith. And as you grow in faith, you grow in grace. Because by faith, you access more grace. More grace, more faith. Less grace. Okay, more faith, more grace. Less faith, less grace. No faith, no grace. Great. Faith is a prime activator of grace. Faith is the doorway to grace. Glory to God. You appropriate grace through faith. You must have faith in the bloody report of the gospel. Isaiah 53 verse 1. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? You must have faith. Who has believed? That talking of the believing of faith. Our report, that word report also means good news or good tidings or glad tidings or gospel. So you must have faith in the gospel of God's grace. Am I communicating? You must have faith in the finished work of Christ. You must have faith in what Jesus has accomplished for us. You must have faith in that bloody report of the gospel of Christ. Glory to God. Next key, faithful stewardship. How do you grow in grace? Through faithful stewardship. 1 Peter 4:10. Faithful stewardship. He said, as every man had received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of what? The manifold grace of God. Good stewards of the manifold, multifaceted grace of God. Glory to God. So you must become a good steward. Good stewardship. Faithful stewardship. Hallelujah. So you must be faithful. Listen, listen. Let me explain this point better. Grace grows through the use of it faithfully. What this faithful stewardship simply means is that you must use that grace and manage it faithfully. Any grace upon your life will grow when you use it faithfully and you manage it well. Are you seeing something? For instance, now, if there is an evangelistic grace on your life, how will it grow? When you use it. Every grace grows by use. If there is a healing grace on your life, the more you use it to pray for the sick, the more you grow in that grace. But no matter the impartation you receive, if you don't use it, it cannot grow. Are you getting me? If you don't use it, it cannot grow. Even if you are praying for the sick, only testimony of people getting healed of headache, no problem. Keep using it. Keep using it. And as you use it faithfully, as you minister to the sick, from headache, very soon it will be deaf ears, very soon it will be cancer. You understand? Very soon the lame will start walking. Very soon you start raising the dead. Every grace grows through use. But if you don't use it, it cannot grow. Am I communicating? It's the same thing with the giving grace. If you want the giving grace upon your life to grow, use it. The person that is not giving when he's having 10,000 per month will never give, even if he has 10 billion per month. Every grace grows through use. The teaching grace, the same thing. The writing grace, the same thing. If you have a writing grace, write, use it. Praise God. It doesn't matter whether you have 2 likes or 2 million likes. Keep using it. Forget about the like. Even if nobody is clapping for you, just be faithful, be consistent. Keep using it. Every grace grows through use. Luke 16 verse 10. Jesus said, he that is faithful in the least is faithful in much. He that is not faithful in the very little is not faithful in much. It's like that. God doesn't need to know what you will do with 10 billion. He's seeing what you are doing with 1,000. If you are not faithful using that 1,000, you cannot be faithful even if he gives you 10 billion. It's a principle. He said, he that is faithful in that which is least. As a pastor, if you are not faithful in pastoring 5 people, you will never be faithful even if they are 50,000. It's a principle. You can't break it. As an HOD, if you are not faithful over that department that has 10 members, 10 workers, you will never be faithful even if God gives you 10 million people. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful in much. He that is unjust in that which is least is unjust in that which is much. God will not give you more until you prove that you are faithful. Until you pass the faithfulness test. Am I communicating? Why are you asking God for more grace when you are not using the one he has given you well? He won't increase it because God doesn't like waste. Glory to God. I say glory to God. God doesn't like waste. Every grace grows by use. Glory to God. Prayer grace grows by use. Somebody is laughing. It grows by use. You can't have prayer grace and you are not praying. Does it make sense? It will not grow. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Singing grace grows by use. Worship grace grows by use. The more you use it faithfully, the more God increases it. He says, as good steward of the manifold grace of God. Good stewardship. 1 Corinthians 4:1. He said, let every man account of us as... let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. We are stewards of the mysteries of God's grace. Am I communicating? Then verse 2. He said, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithfulness is a major requirement. Capital requirement in the school of what? Stewardship. God cannot give you more grace when you are not faithful in service. Use the grace he has given you for service. That's why we always say join a department where you can use the grace of God on your life and deploy it in service. That's how you grow in that grace. Am I communicating? Every believer, there are graces upon your life. You need graces. How will it grow? When you use it in kingdom service. That's why you join a department and then you serve faithfully there, and through that faithful service, faithful stewardship, God increases the grace. Make sure you are faithful, because some are serving but they are not faithful. Hallelujah. What does it mean to be faithful? To be committed, to be reliable, to be available, to be dependable, to be trustworthy. So you must be a faithful manager of the grace of God on your life. You must be a trustee, one to which God has entrusted grace. Even Moses grew in the prophetic grace because of his faithfulness. Look at Hebrews 3 verse 5. Watch this. Hebrews 3 verse 5. It says, Moses verily was faithful in all the house of God. He was faithful as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Now give me Numbers chapter 14 verse 6. You now see why God was angry with Miriam and Aaron when they spoke against Moses. Watch this. You know, they too were prophetic. Miriam too, they see, oh, she too was prophetic. She was prophesying. The same thing with Aaron. But they came and questioned the authority of the set man, Moses. God called them to support Moses. Now they are now saying, because Moses, they see phone number, me too, I they see. Moses, they prophesy, me too, I they prophesy. They say, as God spoke only through Moses, say, because Moses married a utopian, a Cushite, a utopian woman. They now started talking against him. Then God then showed up to judge the case. Watch this. He said, because the Lord was not... Numbers 12. Verse Numbers 12 verse what? 16 ba? No, it's not, not 12, not verse 6, not 16, verse 6. Numbers 12 verse 6. It says, and he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, this is God speaking. If there is a prophet among you, I the Lord will make myself known to him in a vision. Prophets have visions, and I will speak unto them in a dream, prophetic dreams. God communicates with prophets majorly, visions, dreams, especially those that are seer prophets. Next verse. My servant Moses is not so, is not at your level. He said, who is faithful in all my house? Can you see the difference between him and others? He was more faithful than them. So God shifted his prophetic to another dimension. And look at next verse. Look at how God relates with him because of his faithfulness. He said, with him I speak mouth to mouth.
even apparently, not in dark speeches, not in prophetic parables or prophetic dramatization. He said, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. He said, wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Say, God say, I did speak to Ram Fuska to Fuska. This man is faithful. You increase in grace through faithfulness. I tell myself, if I come for any AGMI service, even if I meet empty chair, I will preach. Because I have a supervisor that is watching me. It's God. I have to be faithful. So whether I see 2 people or 2 million, I will preach and prepare well. Am I communicating? My delivery will not be affected by the number. You know, there are some pastors that change their sermon. When you come and see, Kai, they know plenty. Let me reserve my best message when the crowd comes. So, let me just give them word of exhortation. God is watching. The crowd may never come because you are not being faithful. Am I communicating? Some of you are angry. Say, ah, why is Pastor Sheun give me pre-service, praise and worship? I want to worship when the reservice, before Papa comes up, when everybody is around. It's as if I don't scratch somebody. Let me look this way. Praise God. Let's round up this teaching. Praise God. Next, how do you grow in grace? By giving and sacrifice. Giving and sacrifice. Giving and sacrifice. Give me 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6. Giving and sacrifice. Now, listen, this key is very important. Because the giving grace is the doorway to all other graces. Very powerful. God is able to make all grace abound towards the giver. There is no grace you desire that you cannot access through giving. See, this looks to me like the master key, especially when you give with the right attitude of your heart. And you give according to scriptural guideline motivated by love. How did Solomon access grace for wisdom that made him the wisest man and the wealthiest man before Jesus? It was giving. Solomon loved the Lord. He went to sacrifice 1,000 burnt offering. And God's heart was touched. God showed up in his dream that night. And God said, Solomon, what do you want? You have touched my heart. God gave him a blank check. He said, give me wisdom. God said, I have given you wisdom. He received impartation of the grace for wisdom after he gave to God a record-breaking offering. 1,000 burnt offering. Do you know 2 animal sacrifices, just 2 like this, is enough on the great day of atonement to atone for the whole sin of Israel for 1 year? Just 2. But Solomon gave 1,000. Not even David, his father, has ever given God that kind of sacrifice. So you can access grace for wisdom through the giving grace. It says, this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. He which soweth not at all shall reap not at all. Next verse. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Verse 8. And God. So it's a continuation. It's a conjunction. And it's a conjunction. God is able to make all grace. Can you see something? Are you seeing what I'm seeing? God is able to make all grace come to the giver. God is able to make all grace come to the giver. There is no grace you cannot access by giving. He said, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficient in all things, may abound to every good work. Can you shout amen? Give me that verse 7 in Amplified. I like the way the Amplified put it. So, you learn to give.
Giving is a major secret of grace. Most of the time when God wants to shift your level, he will tell you to give a sacrifice. When you give and give sacrificially, you are called up higher. You change, you shift to the next dimension of grace. Am I communicating? It says, let each one give as he had made up his own mind and proposed in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully. He's showing you how to give and how not to give. Don't give as if under pressure, under duress. Don't give under duress. Don't give reluctantly. Don't give sorrowfully. You know, there are some people that every 1 naira that leaves their bodies as if they are cutting them, the thing they pain them. They are even greedy to God. They come to church, they'll put 10 naira front pocket, 50 naira back pocket, 1,000 naira left back pocket, must not be touched. They will say, even God understand. Say, economy hard. Glory to God. How can you come out of economic hardship without giving? Okay? Now watch this. It says, don't give sorrowfully or under compulsion, for God loves, he takes pleasure in, he prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon. Can you see something? God takes pleasure in, he prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or to do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. That's why givers don't die anyhow. They mean a lot to God. Hey, God is unwilling to abandon a giver. That's why I always tell people, listen. If you see somebody that is a giver, don't be afraid for them. Their future is bright. I'm telling you, their future is bright. Any genuine giver you see has a bright future. God loves a joyous giver, prompt to do it. You know, one thing with giving is that you have to be prompt. Do it promptly. Okay? When the grace is there, when you are instructed by God, or you are stirred to give, that's the best time to give. Don't postpone it. Let me give you one secret. Don't postpone it. The moment you postpone it, you will end up not giving. Has it not happened to you before? Prompt to do it. Once I have the leading to give, the urge to give, I immediately do it, because I know that if I postpone it, other reasons will now come. I will end up not doing it. This is why many a times when people make pledges, they don't end up redeeming the pledge, because when they go home, the more will now come up. That will swallow up the money that they plan to use for the pledge. They will say, God will understand. Say, I receive grace to be a prompt to do it giver. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 7. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 7. Giving is a major secret to grace. The giving grace is a prosperity grace. It also opened the doors to other graces in addition. There is no grace you cannot access through giving. Am I communicating? Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Which grace? The giving grace that was upon the Macedonian church that Paul started talking to the Corinthian church about from verse 1. The giving grace was upon the Macedonian church, and Paul is writing to the Corinthian church so that they will learn from them. He says, see to it that you are bound in this giving grace also. Some people, they don't have problem with fasting. Even if we say 100 days fasting, they will fast. But the moment you tell them give, they will say, Let God talk to those that have. Say, let the rich people give now. Meanwhile, you can't come out of poverty without giving. Okay? The reason why sometimes you have, sometimes you don't have, is because sometimes you give, sometimes you don't give. See, listen, you must receive grace for consistency in giving. He said, in the morning, sow your seed. In the evening, what? We told not your hand. Give and keep giving. Because when the cloud is full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. Hallelujah. So when the Bible, when I say Bible, when God said, this is our year of abundance, you should, from my teaching, when I did exposition on that word, I told you one of the key to abundance is giving, generosity, right? Give me Proverbs 11:24. That means, listen, give this year than you gave last year. Consciously and intentionally increase your offering. You can't be giving the same amount for offering that you gave last year every Sunday and expect a different result. It doesn't work that way. Consciously increase your giving. The more the economy is biting harder, the more you should be more dangerous with your giving. The more you should give more aggressively. Are you getting my point? This is how to break the economic hardship. It's not by grammar. It's not just by carrying placard. Oh, we are saying, this hardship too much. As you can see, the government, you know, consign them. Now only God care for you. So you better engage kingdom economic principle. Am I communicating? Say Sakpa won't kill us. The government no care. Even though government should care. Am I communicating? Engage kingdom principle. Engage the covenant. Praise God. There is that scattered. Give me in NLT. Is it NLT? I like the way NLT put it. There is that scattered yet increased. There is that we told that more than is meet tend to poverty. In this kingdom, we increase by scattering seed. He said, give freely and become more wealthy. The world say, hold back. Is it the way it is hard? Use wisdom. The wisdom they are saying there is not the wisdom of God. Oh. Say, use your head. Oh boy, no, use common sense. Use covenant sense. Break hardship in this period. Use covenant sense. Are you getting me? Use covenant sense. Give freely, become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. Choose one. Verse 25. Shalabai. The generous will prosper. Do we have generous people in the house? Those who refresh others with themselves be refreshed. Can you shout amen? Give me Philippians 1 verse 5. Now there are different categories of giving. There is your tithing. Honor God with your tithe. The tithe is a 10% of your increase or your income. There is worship offering. You don't come before God empty handed. Worship is incomplete without giving God an offering. Okay? There is giving to promote the gospel, partnership with the gospel. Okay? We have a partnership scheme in this ministry. It's called Kingdom Dominion Partnership. Okay? Some of you are not partnering yet. Some of you are partnering, why? But you are not consistent. There are those that are partnering consistently. There are those that are not partnering consistently. Receive grace for consistency. There is giving to the prophet, what we call prophet offering, giving to the anointed. There is giving, sacrificial giving. We call it sacrificial giving because is a sacrifice. The type that bring tears out of your eyes, say those that sow in tears. Am I communicating? That type that the widow woman gave. You know, Jesus entered church, synagogue, and the Bible says he went and sat where they were giving offering. Jesus didn't even sit close to choir. When Jesus went to church, that synagogue, he didn't sit close to minister seat where the men of God were. He went and sat where they were giving offering. And he was seeing how much each person was giving. If Jesus was not seeing it, how did he know that the woman gave 2 fatting? He was seeing it. He saw rich people were casting out of their abundance. But this woman, all she had, home and abroad, 2 fatting. And she came and casted. Jesus said she has given more than everybody else. She gave 100%. We call it sacrificial giving. That one changes your level like jazz. It changes your level like jazz. Am I communicating? There is giving to your parents. You honor your parents, both your spiritual parent and your biological parent. Am I communicating? Then there is giving to the poor and needy. Am I communicating? Different categories of giving. Engage in them and watch yourself grow in grace. Am I communicating? Watch yourself walk in abundance. Plan your givings. Many of you, your challenge is that you don't plan your giving. This is a major challenge with some of you. As money enters your hand, hey, you start spending. You buy this, you buy that. You remember this. You forget God and His kingdom. You forget all these things we are teaching. Start planning your giving. As money is coming, have a particular percentage. 10% is tithe, ba. Okay, let me give you an example. In our ministry, the first 10% of our income is separated as tithe. The second 10% is separated as what? Huh? Profit offering. The third 10%, is it 10 or 20? 10% is separated as what? Welfare. Then next 20% is what? Savings. Then we run all these expenses, expenditure. The one we spend is how many percent? 50%. That is like our own structure. You should have a structure, you too. Not that you just spend it here anyhow. Buy okpa, buy granite. Donkwa. Awara. You don't plan. That's why God cannot trust you. Anywhere by left face. This one is passing. Buy granite, say come. You can enter terminus, you don't finish money. The things you did not even budget, you bought them. You even buy what you don't need. It's when you came home, you realized you didn't need it. They convinced you to buy through marketing and you bought. And you know these marketers, this is why people will get sweet mouth. They can make you buy what you did not plan to buy. Oh. I remember it was in Wuse market in Abuja. Somebody almost convinced me to buy brazier, bra. Some years back, oh. I was not married then. Young boy in the barrack. The man was a good marketer, Igbo man, very sharp. He said, "See, I say, how can I buy? I'm a guy." He say, "Is there no problem? You feel buy for your sister, you feel buy for your girlfriend, you feel buy." I say, "I no get girlfriend." He say, "You feel buy for your wife, I never marry. You feel buy for your sister now." And then I say, "Not true." You see, I was almost buying until I came back to my senses. I said, "Wait, what did they do you like this? Am I communicating?" See, don't spend without budget. plan. See, as a rule, self, spend less than you earn. Just all your expenses, let it be 50% or 40% of whatever money enters your hand. That's the one you are going to spend, including those bashy people where you don't owe. If you cannot pay at once, come up with them with a payment plan over a period of time. Say every month I'm going to pay you 10,000. I owe you 100. I beg 10,000 every month. It's not that you just carry all your money and yeah, and then you are now next you go borrow again. It's like robbing Peter to pay Paul. Before servicing debt, before spending any money, think of tithe and all your givings separated. Have a structure. Am I communicating? Be a faithful steward. Because I really want you people to blow financially this year. That's why I'm teaching you like this. Plan your offering. You don't come church. You know, most people don't plan their offering, Sunday offering. It's when they come out of Keke Napep. The Keke Napep man change. So, okay, I'll use this one for offering. You are not doing well. Plan your offering before Sunday. Go and buy envelope. Count. Okay, we are entering the month of March, but count how many Sundays are in March. Then get envelope for each of those Sundays. If you like, put date on it. Put it March 20th, March 3rd, March 4th. Are you getting me? Then, as money is coming, as they are paying you salary, or your parents are sending, anyway, or you are making money, as the money comes, 10% after your tithe, first separate your tithe, honor God with it. The next thing, remove offering. I don't know how many percent you want, whether it is 5% of your income, or 10% or 20, whatever works for you. Just make sure you plan it. Then withdraw that money, put it inside those envelopes for all the Sundays, so that it is not later when you have finished the money, you now say no offering, no transport. You are a victim of poor planning or lack of planning. Tell your neighbor, say, I receive grace to plan my finances. It says, for your fellowship, Philippians 1, in the gospel, give me an amplified. From the first day until now, glory to God. Partnership. Partnership. It says, and they will tell it. You're under the anointing. Come on, celebrator. See our beautiful eyeglass. Glory to God. It says, Philippians 1:5 amplified. Glory to God. Let me round up this. It says, and I thank my God for your fellowship, your sympathetic cooperation and contribution and partnership. You see that? In advancing the gospel. Look up. Many Christians have not been correctly taught. Do you know there is a part of your money that must go into the gospel? It is not optional. You see, you need to understand this. That is how God has designed for the gospel to be preached. Are you seeing something? The preaching of the gospel, spreading the kingdom, advancing the kingdom, is capital intensive, requires money. Where will the money come from? It's from God's people. God has designed it that his people will give towards the propagation of the gospel. Zechariah 1:17, don't go there. He said, cry yet, saying, preach it. My cities through prosperity shall be spread abroad. Are you aware that there is a part of your income that is supposed to go into the gospel? It's called your partnership with the gospel. Learn these things early. Am I communicating? And start where you are with what you have. For someone, it may be 500 according to your level. For somebody else, 1,000. Just make sure you are faithful every month or every week, depending on how regular your income comes. For somebody, it is 10,000. For another person, 100,000. For another person, 1 million. For somebody else, $1,000. God knows everybody's level. As God increases you, as God increases you, increase your giving, increase your partnership. When you were earning 50,000, you were giving 5,000 as partnership with the gospel. God blesses you and increases your salary to 100,000. You are still giving 5,000 for partnership. God increases your salary to 200,000. You are still giving 5,000 for partnership. We should knock your head. And if you continue like that, God will stop increasing you. You are not smart. You don't get covenant sense. As God is increasing you, increase your giving and your partnership. That's how to do it. Am I communicating? Am I communicating? Paul said, your contribution and partnership in advancing the gospel. He said, I thank my God. Can a pastor thank God for his people like this? Am I communicating? He said, until now, give me verse 7. Just King James Version, verse 7, KJV. He said, from the first day you heard till now, from the day one, they became partners. He says, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch both in my bond and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. The church in Philippi, they became partakers of Apostle Paul's grace. How? Through partnership. Philippians 4:15. Paul said, they gave and gave once and again. You saw, can you see? That was how they became partakers of his grace. Am I communicating? They partook of the grace upon Apostle Paul. And you know, it's the grace upon the man of God that is upon his ministry. Glory to God. I say glory to God. It says, for even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again, not once and for all. You know, some people, they give only once. Yeah, we don't try. Even God knows say we try. It's the principle of what? Once and again. Next verse. It says, not because I desire a gift. Listen. When you give to a man of God, the truth is that he is not the one that needs your giving. You are the one that need to obey a law and honor the grace in his life by giving, so that you can partake of the grace on him. And the grace on him is forever greater than whatever seed you are sowing to him. Grace is priceless. Am I communicating? When I give to anybody, I don't think I'm doing them a favor. Mm-mm. I'm doing myself a favor. It's a law I'm honoring. Am I communicating? Oh, glory to God. Say with me, when I give, I'm not doing the recipient a favor. I'm doing myself a favor. Who will the harvest come to? You. Who will partake of the grace upon the anointed? You. Is it not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account, not to my account, to your account. Next verse. He said, but I have all and I abound, and I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. How many of you know the largest church in the world right now, as a single congregation like that, Dunamis, Glory Doom, right now, but others are still under construction. The Ark Project and Hand of God, Ibiomi. That Glory Dome, I was listening to Dr. Paul Enenche. He said it was one believer, one person that understand giving towards Kingdom Project. One person gave money for the roof in millions of dollars. There was one Living Faith church, is it Maryland or where, Lagos, either Highland, I've forgotten which place, that it was one believer that built the whole church from foundation to roofing, to furnishing plus all instrument inside. I know instrument is another budget. One person, the whole thing costed over 1 billion plus. One person. Am I communicating? Make up your mind to be a big time gospel financier this year. Make up your mind. Have a vision for kingdom promotion. Anytime you see a need in the house of God, it's your opportunity to be blessed by meeting that need. Am I communicating? Any need you see in the house of God is your opportunity to prosper by meeting that need. You connect with grace. Am I communicating? Reinhard Bonnke Crusade, Kenneth Copeland is a major partner. Majority of the money, more than 90 something percent, comes from Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Copeland ministry. You think that all those souls Reinhard Bonnke won, it's only him that will be rewarded in heaven? You are joking. The person whose money helped him to win those souls will also be rewarded. Because how can they go except they be sponsored, sent? Without the money, the crusade cannot happen. So God will reward all of them. As his blessing, Reinhard Bonnke will bless Kenneth Copeland. Am I communicating? It was one person. This hall is not be we build them, we are renting it. It was one person that paid. The person is here right now. One person. One person like you. Tell your neighbor, one person like you. I didn't say you, I said like you. That paid the rent for the past 2 years. 2 years, right? 2 years. 3 times, 3 years, the person paid, renewed it when it expired, renewed it again, 3 times. Huh? Am I communicating? Make up your mind. Recently, somebody sowed seed in millions, over close to 2 million. To the ministry. It was even from the money we even bought generator, so that all this light embarrassment will end it. And trust exchange rate now. We went to buy gen, we were hearing prices. I say shaka palakata. We dominate the dollar. One gen, we spent 1 million. The man say last price. 1,025,000 to buy gen. 10 kVA. Am I communicating? I believe God, many of you, you will sow your first 1 million naira seed this year. Oh, you see, the problem is when God finally put the money in their hand, they go buy donkwa. They will forget this thing I'm saying. You will not forget in Jesus' name. They will be thinking of other. Listen, when first 1 million and all of that enter your hand, it's not for business. Calm down. You will do business, but first, listen. I thought yesterday, before you do physical or business investment, make sure you have done spiritual investment into the kingdom. Because the success and security of your physical and business investment depends on your spiritual investment, your investment into the kingdom. But many people don't know that. God is not against you investing in business, real estate, shares and all of that. But how much have you put into the kingdom before you did that one? You now see why many people are losing their money. They will now come for counseling. Pastor, I don't understand. I did this, it no work. Apostle David Wale first will say a man came to him for counseling because he lost some serious millions in business. And the Holy Spirit spoke to Apostle Wale Feso. He said, don't pray for him. This man is a greedy man. He has never given me 1 million. Never. Why won't Satan be attacking his finance? He has neglected the kingdom. He's thinking of only himself. Are you seeing something? Before you do physical investment or business investment, make sure you have done and you continue to do what? Kingdom investment. Partner with the kingdom. And I'm telling you, your business must prosper. Because you have connected, it is hooked up. There will be supply, flow of grace. Am I communicating? I have all, I am bound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. They gave to the man of God. And Apostle Paul said, it's a sacrifice, sweet, well-pleasing to God. Next verse. He said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. A man of God said, attempting to claim this portion of the Bible without practicing what they did equals spiritual 4:19. You know, it's Philippians 4 verse 19. 4:19. Before claiming this scripture, before quoting it, make sure you do what they did. Before Apostle Paul prayed this prayer for them. Did he pray this prayer for the Ephesian church? Did he pray this prayer for the Colossian church? Did he pray for the Roman church? He only prayed it for the church that kept partnering with him and sowing into his life. He said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Hallelujah. Make up your mind to be a partner. We have a partnership form, right? Kingdom Dominion Partnership. You can pick one. If you are not a partner, become one now. Let me tell you the truth. Listen, don't say, maybe you are a student, you say, when I finish school and start working, earning my own money, then I will start partnering. Let me tell you something. If you are not partnering now, and you are not doing it consistently, you will not do it later. Never. It's a principle. He that is faithful in the least is faithful in much. If you are not partnering with your 1,000, you will still not partner if God gives you 1 billion. Am I communicating? So start from where you are with what you have and keep doing it consistently. The key word is consistency and faithfulness. Every week, every month, quarterly, 6 monthly, whatever package works for you. Just make sure you are consistent. Then the last key, growing in grace, prophetic impartation. Glory to God. Prophetic impartation. Romans 1:11, Paul said, I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, to the end that ye may be what? Establish. Gifts can be imparted. Graces can be imparted. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 34 verse 9, and Moses the servant of God, Joshua the servant of God, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses the servant of God has laid hands on him. When Moses laid hands on Joshua, he released an impartation of the spirit of wisdom. Wisdom for leadership. Wisdom for success. Am I communicating? Impartation. Impartation is a spiritual medium for the transfer of grace from one human vessel to another. Graces can be transferred. There are different channels of impartation. Number one, through anointed words, whether spoken or written. When you mix it with faith and receive it with a heart of honor, and you obey the laws of impartation, you can receive through the channel of anointed words. The second channel is through the laying on of hands. 1 Timothy 4:14, through the laying on of hands. Graces can be transferred when hands are laid on you. Am I communicating? Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery, that's the elders. Am I communicating? 2 Timothy 1 verse 6. It says, fan into flame. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, or fan into flames the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Then graces can be transferred through material mediums. Material mediums include anointing oil, clothing materials like handkerchief and apron, even the dry bone of Prophet Elijah transmitted the anointing and a dead man was raised back to life. Any material that comes in contact with the anointed can be charged with the anointing, and when the laws of impartation are obeyed, it can discharge and be released upon the person. Am I communicating? Hebrews 7 verse 6. You can access any grace you truly covet and earnestly desire through the law of honor. Honor for the anointed. Hallelujah. The grace or anointing flows only in one direction, from the top to the bottom, from the better to the lesser. You never receive from any person until you honor them genuinely from your heart. Am I communicating? Honor is the key to access. Honor is the doorway to any man's grace. The people that honor me can easily partake of the grace of my life. Those that don't honor me cannot partake. It's like that. Am I communicating? Honor. A heart of honor. He said, but he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promise. Glory to God. Rise to your feet. Verse 7. It says, and without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Who is the less? Abraham. Who is the better? Melchizedek. Am I communicating? Abraham was a carrier of the promises, and it was God that gave him the promises direct. Yet he still needed Melchizedek, the king priest, to activate the blessing into manifestation. Glory to God. Impartation. Our big daddy was here, and you saw how we shifted after that encounter. Am I communicating? Impartation. Prophetic impartation. There are different kind of graces. There is a prayer or intercession grace. Prayer and intercession grace. There is a grace for wisdom and revelation. There is grace for healing. There is grace for the supernatural, miracles, signs, wonders. There is prosperity grace. There is prophetic grace. There is evangelistic grace. There is apostolic grace. There is teaching grace. There is preaching grace. There is pastoral grace. There is giving grace. There is leadership grace. There is administration grace. There is business grace. There is entrepreneurship grace. There is grace for success in your academics, in your career, in your job. There is grace for excellence. There is grace for successful relationship, marriage and family life. There is grace for music, for worship, for praise. There is grace to write, authorship grace. There is grace for influence and visibility. There is grace for everything you desire in this kingdom, if you know how to receive them. And that's why I'm teaching you how to receive. The last channel is prophetic impartation. Kela bora sida hala frida satanasa. Eleketila branda kosha kata. Are you ready to pray? Malatuze peletena. Brandos ketila afrakatai. Jeliko tetila. He said, go to them that sell and buy for yourself. You buy with hunger. You buy with spiritual hunger.
Kalido Selekida Sapatina. What grace do you desire? I have a question for you. What grace do you earnestly covet? The Bible says, earnestly covet the best. Earnestly covet the best gift. What grace is lacking in your life? Listen, any grace that is lacking in your life is not because it is not available. You don't know how to receive it yet. And that's why I'm showing you how to receive. Through all those keys, am I communicating? In 1-2 minutes, lift up your voice now and begin to cry out. Any grace you desire is available in the house. Any grace you desire is available here and now. And the God of all grace is visiting you on this mountain. I want you to lift up your voice and begin to declare. You have come for an encounter with the God of all grace. What grace do you desire in your life? It is available. Kalabatuza batana. Eleke bondeke bakatai. Ilaya bababos. Bataka baleko boraka pata. Bandeke barakata kabrakata. There is grace for prosper. There is grace for wisdom. There is grace for wealth. There is grace for prosperity. There is grace for mega success. There is grace for greatness. Shalababo regedi. Malabababo shilabakatai. Liga baba bonde kebalatia. There is singing grace. There is grace for worship. There is grace for psalmistry. There is grace for prophetic psalmistry. Prophetic worship. There is grace to write, to author books. There is grace for intercession and prayer. There is grace for soul winning, to win souls, to reach out to the lost. There is grace for evangelism. There is grace to teach. Teaching grace. Preaching grace. Grace for influence. Grace to give. There is grace for favor. There is grace for favor. There is grace for favor. There is grace for divine speed. There is grace for divine ease. That grace terminates struggles. It terminates hardship. Malaya ya 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 balakada. Rondo boko soprekete. Shalabakondo bola bakatai. Labatose beletena. Kapataka balaka bakata. Ledege bora babababaladai. The giving grace is poured forth upon us. The prosperity grace is exploding upon us. The grace for abundance is released mightily upon us. The grace for favor. The grace for wisdom. Shalababondeke bagadai. Lepekete kebrekete. Lagabagabalakatai. Randege brekedegede. Ayabagabagabalakatai. Rondo boko seketia. Grace for wealth. Grace to conquer millions. Grace to conquer billions.
for the sake of the gospel. Shabali alabateni. Embreketila kabalata. Grace to be humble. Grace for meekness. Latiso felete. Shagabaliga bakatai. There are distributions of graces. There are impartations of graces. I see somebody with a writing grace, and the Lord is showing me that the person is going to write books that will become bestsellers. I see people from all walks of life reading the book authored by this person. There is a grace to be a best-selling author. The person, Ayaga Baladia, the writing grace, the writing grace, wisdom to write. Manda ya 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 ya. Shaka baketekeba. I'm seeing somebody in Canada reading the book written by this person. I'm seeing another person in UK reading the book written by this person. Shalabola Tila Kappa. Within and outside Nigeria. Shalababondeke Bagadai. Put your hand on your head. I see that grace coming upon the person. I see that grace coming upon the person. This person with the writing grace. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, let the grace rest upon the person like rain, like rain. Shalina Valade Ragabade, the wisdom of a scribe, the writing grace, let it rest upon the person in the name of Jesus. Gababali Gabada, bring that person. Shalabondeke Bagadai. They are more than one. The Holy Ghost said they are more than one. They are more than one. Shalebo silekete. Shalabababa liga balagada. Take. The anointing is resting upon one of them. Your hand will start vibrating. It's resting upon your hand like fire. Take it, take it, take it. Take it, take it. That anointing is resting upon the person's hand. Shalego baliga bagadai. Bring them forward for me. Bring them forward. I see the grace for favor. There are three people. I'm seeing an anointing for favor. Is resting upon them now. The favor of God. Take it, take it, take it, take it. The anointing for favor is resting upon you now. Kalabaya balakatai. Shelebobo rekete. I'm seeing a prophetic mantle of fire. A prophetic mantle of fire. Like a whirlwind resting upon someone. Prophetic mantle of fire. Help them. Shakataka balakatai. There is grace for you. There is grace for you. The spirit of excellence. The grace for excellence. The grace for excellence. Is resting upon somebody now. Take it, take it, take it, take it. Grace for academic excellence. Grace for excellence in your career. Excellence in your job. Grace to be the head and not the tail. I'm seeing a special anointing for worship. The grace for worship. Prophetic worship. Prophetic psalmistry. Prophetic worship. Kaladiso lekida halate. Mande gebalo sebeletia. The grace for intimacy. Intimacy in worship. Manda baba baba lagabagadai. Lekete, take it now. Take it now. Take it now. Take it now. The grace to receive prophetic songs. The grace to download prophetic songs. Songs of praise. Songs of worship. Songs of intimacy. Songs of fire. Shagaba de Gebalatia. That grace is released upon you now. I'm seeing grace for intercession. Prophetic intercession. Lift up your hands towards heaven. I'm seeing grace for prophetic intercession. It's resting upon someone. I'm seeing that grace resting upon someone. Help the person. In the name of Jesus. Like fire, like fire, let that grace for prophetic intercession, prayer fire, lay it rest upon you now. Take it now, take it now. Help them. Shalabonde kebahata. Grace is poured into your lips. Grace to prosper in your business. I'm seeing grace for wisdom. Wisdom for entrepreneurship. Wisdom for business ideas. Shalababababalabalakatai. Yelababonde ke brakatia. Shapate ke brondo koso frekate. Shabababalabalakatai. Ilabore sile beledia. Grace to conquer wealth for the... I'm seeing... Just stretch forth your hands. The oil of wealth. The oil of wealth. See, as I speak, you start feeling the anointing on your hand. Some of you, your hand will start scratching you. Some of you, you will start feeling it like electricity. Some of you, you will start feeling it like fire. The anointing to prosper. The oil of wealth and prosperity. The anointing to conquer millions and billions. As I speak, Father, let that anointing, let it rest upon their hands. Let it rest upon their hands. Shaka baliga bakatai. Receive the oil of wealth. Receive the oil of wealth. Take it, take it, take it. It's upon your hands. It's upon your hands. The anointing to prosper. The anointing for wealth and favor. Take it now. Shalababababodegibagadai. Your first 1 million naira is entering your hand this year. Your first 10 million naira is entering your hand this year. Your first 100 million naira is entering your hand this year. Your first 1 billion naira, depending on your category, the take it now. Your financial struggles are terminated. You will prosper and flourish in the midst of lack. You will flourish in famine. Some of you in your sleep, the Holy Ghost will download money making ideas. In your sleep, you will receive download of divine wisdom. Business ideas. Money making ideas. Witty invention. Divine ideas, concept and insight. Lagaboro sefele petena. Ayayayayayayaya. Kilaboro sefele tena. Kilabunde ke paradas. Shele mondo sovrakati. Sing that song for me. Yahweh Sabaoth. Sabaoth, Yahweh Sabaoth, Yahweh Sabaoth, Yahweh Sabaoth, Yahweh Sabaoth, Yahweh Sabaoth, Yahweh Sabaoth, Yahweh. Shame is living your life. This is a word for somebody. The Lord said, in this season you will not see shame. In this season you will not see shame. In this season you will not be ashamed. You will not be put to shame. Every spirit of shame lives your life now. And my people shall never be ashamed, saith the Lord. The Lord will help you. Help is rising for you. Your weeping, aya kando si felete. If a weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I decree and declare, this is the morning of your life. Your days of weeping are over. You will not struggle again. The grace of God is terminating your struggles. Your days of financial struggles are over. Your days of struggle in your career, job, business are over. In the name of Jesus. The grace of God is making life easy for you. the grace of God has exempted you from the current economic hardship. The grace of God has exempted you from economic holocaust. Your story and your case is different. Mande kepora katiza. Yahweh Sabaoth. Yahweh. Can you lift up your hands and worship?
Yahweh Sabaoth. Yahweh Sabaoth. Yahweh Sabaoth. Yahweh Sabaoth. Yahweh Sabaoth. Yahweh Sabaoth.
Worship him. His presence is mighty in this place. Just worship him. Come on, drink from the fountain of his grace. Grace is poured into your lips. Just go ahead and worship him in the beauty of his holiness. Come on, celebrate him in the firmament of his power. I'm seeing an anointing for speed. Grace for speed. Grace for speed. Grace for speed. The Lord is breaking the yoke of delays. He's releasing the grace for speed. The Lord is releasing the grace for speed. It's coming upon somebody's feet. The person will start running, jumping. Ligabate kelokata. No more delays. No more stagnation. Take the anointing. The grace for speed. You will not be delayed anymore. Nothing can stop you anymore. That yoke of demonic delay is broken. That your money that is being delayed, I command it to be released now. I command a divine release. Whatever belongs to you that has been delayed and held back by the enemy, by this anointing, I command a forceful release. A speedy release. The grace for speedy supernatural accomplishment. Record-breaking accomplishment. Attention commanding result. The grace for exploit is released upon you now in the name of Jesus. Your result will surprise and shock people in this season. I say your result will surprise. surprise and shock people in this season. And people will see them and they will confess that this is the finger of God. You are returning here with mind-blowing testimonies. I know next week Sunday is miracle service, March miracle service. But the Lord is telling me that some of you, within the next 7 days, between now and next Sunday miracle service, your miracle, the miracle service will begin with you within the week. You are returning here on Sunday with your miracles. You are returning here to share your testimonies. The Lord is visiting you and your family in this season. Just lift up your hands and just worship Him. Oh, I feel the presence of God so mighty. The Spirit of grace is in this place. The Lord is terminating years of struggles. I'm seeing grace for divine ease. No more struggles. No more frustrations. No more failures. That cycle of recurrent failure, frustration, and struggle is broken. That yoke is broken by the anointing. You are entering your season of supernatural ease, supernatural speed, and supernatural favor. The hand of God is resting upon you, and you will outrun the chariots of kings. Shakabura bakasa magadia. Ilabore seteketi. I see God wiping away someone's tears. I see God with an handkerchief. I'm seeing white handkerchief wiping away someone's tears. The Lord said you will not shed tears again. The Lord is wiping away your tears. Whatever has made you shed secret tears, tonight it ends now. Whatever has made you cry in pain, when you are Yagabalia, I'm seeing somebody, because of that problem, listen, because of that problem, you have cried in prayer in secret, out of pain. But my God is visiting you. The Lord is turning around that captivity. The Lord is taking away that pain. The Lord is taking away that reproach. Whatever constitutes a reproach, it ends now by fire. The fire of God is burning them off. It is done for you for a testimony. That affliction is melting away. You will not see shame. The Lord has taken away your sorrow and your pain. Refrain your voice from weeping. Refrain your voice from lamentation. Your story has changed. Your family story has changed. You will sing a new song in your family. I say you will sing a new song in your family. Angels of provisions are released to bring about supernatural supplies. They are assigned to you and your family in this season. When others are complaining of lack, no food, no money, you will be singing the story of abundance, superabundance, supernatural supplies, divine provision. It is your portion in the name of Jesus. Messengers of favor are released to minister for you. And things are happening speedily. Just lift up your hands and just worship Jesus. Go ahead and bless him. Go ahead and bless him. Go ahead and bless him. Kibarose velekatena. La prande geprekete kete kebrakata. Every spirit of depression that you followed you here, discouragement, depression, I command that spirit to get out of your life right now. Every spirit of heaviness leaves you now. Every spirit of discouragement leaves you now. The Lord is binding the brokenhearted. By the anointing, every broken heart, any heart that was broken, is mended now. I don't know what broke your heart, but I know the mender. His name is Dr. Jesus, and he is mending your broken heart. It doesn't matter what you have lost, God is restoring it supernaturally and speeding it. Thank you, Father. All eyes closed, no movement. All eyes closed, all heads bow. If you are in this place and you want to receive the gift of salvation, God's gift of eternal life, you want to say yes to Jesus, you want to accept the free gift of salvation and eternal life, you want to turn a new leaf, you want to surrender to Jesus, I want you to lift up your right hand wherever you are right now. Lift up your right hand wherever you are right now. Lift up your right hand. Lift up your right hand. And in case you are following online, just stand in front of your phone or your laptop or whatever device you are using to listen to me, and lift up your right hand wherever you are right now. I want you to say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sins. On the third day you were raised for my justification. I confess with my mouth that you are my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. I receive eternal life into my spirit. In Jesus' name.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sazon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.